I'd like to start with a story. There was a wealthy man who loved peace. Once he conducted a contest to draw best portrait of peace, and about more than 100 artists submitted their portraits, and the winner will get $50,000. So all the artists tried their best to win the prize. The contest was over. Everybody submitted their portraits, and they submitted all kinds of portraits of peace. And in the final round of selection, the rich man chose two portraits. Number one, a mountain scene, a few puppy clouds, birds flying over, beautiful lake, a placid picture of peace. And the second portrait was another mountain scene. But this was a different, and it wasn't a peaceful looking one, and it was a mountain had jagged, ragged peak, and over the peak there was angry looking clouds, and out of the clouds comes lightning, and after constant lightning there comes the thunder, and then there was a torrential downpour, and water was rushing and gushing over the top of the mountain. And if you look closely underneath of the waterfalls, there was a bush, and on the bush there was a nest, and on the nest there were two birds asleep in the midst of the chaos. This rich man looked at the two portraits. One is placid looking one, then the other one is chaotic looking one. He looked at both and he said, this one, the chaotic looking one, will win, because peace is not absence of storms, rather peace is tranquility, serenity and calm, like those two little birds in the midst of all the chaos were able to sleep quietly, very peacefully. Tonight we reflect the Psalm 85. We have just read the Psalm 85, and verse 8 we read, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He will speak peace to his people. The setting of this psalm is the Jewish people, after the exile, they returned from the exile and they were not settled. They were unhappy about the present situation and they are praying for God's help. And the psalm is revealing a word of God, a word of peace to the faithful. And God will answer to their prayers, and God will answer them with peace, and God will give them peace. And the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, and it has much more deeper meaning than English word peace. Shalom is much more than the absence of war or conflict. It is a sense of well-being, a sense of wholeness, a sense of completeness. We know this kind of peace, or shalom, we experience in our deeper relationship with God. And during the season of Advent, we are preparing ourselves for Christmas. And the message of the Christmas is message of peace. You know, Christ came to this world to give us peace. And this is evident when the angels sang at night after the birth of Christ, glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth. And we sang this angel's song in our glory at Mass. And the first two lines of Gloria is, this is the same, glory to God in the highest and peace to people on earth. What really strikes us today is the disparity between the peace that we are promised and the absence of that same peace in many lives around us. We live in a very tense, uptight, and fast-paced world filled with hurry. The Tahoma, the Washington newspaper, carried the story of a dog named Tattoo, the Basset Hound, a while back. Tattoo, this dog, did not intend to go for an evening run when his owner shut the dog's leash in the car door and took off for a drive with the Tattoo outside the car, and the Tattoo had no choice. And the motorcycle inspector, Thierry, noticed a passing vehicle with something dragging behind it. It was the poor dog, Basset Hound, was running as fast as he could to keep up with the car. And this inspector, Thierry, chased the car to a stop, and the Tattoo was rescued. But not before the dog had reached a top speed of 25 miles per hour, falling down and rolling over several times. Many people live like Tattoo, running at the top of the speed, sometimes rolling around and feeling dragged through life. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." But so many hearts are troubled, and so many others live in fear. We hear the promise of peace, but we know that many are living in chaos. You might have noticed while driving the old bumper sticker, "No God, no peace," and then "No God and no peace." So, we will never know the peace we seek until we know the God of peace, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, says of Jesus, "He himself is our peace." Peace is not just something that Jesus gives and which is external to himself. He himself is our peace. A priest shared an experience that he had, and that he went out to anoint a lady at her home. So he had a call from this lady before she went to the operation. And she had so the father, the priest, went to anoint her the previous day of her surgery. And the priest found very unusually, she was so cheerful and calm and peaceful, and there was no fear at all on her face. And the priest said, he commented that he hadn't seen many people like her was so calm, so tranquil, just before the operation. And he asked what was the secret of it. And she showed a plaque which was hanging on her kitchen wall. It read like this: "Let your God be bigger than your fears." So she had a great trust in the Lord, and she knew God will never leave her alone, especially in the time of trials. So that gave her peace and comfort even in the midst of suffering and hardship. We know the Bible gives us a lot of examples of people who put their trust in the Lord. Last Monday, we reflect the meditated the gospel passage of the centurion, whose the servant was seriously ill and approached Jesus to cure him. And all of a sudden Jesus said he was ready to go to his house and heal the servant. But the centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed." So this centurion had a deep trust in him. Centurion have a deep faith in Jesus Christ. And same like the Canaanite woman who touched the fringe of Jesus' cloth and she had healing. So Bible gives us, the Gospels gives us a lot of examples of people who had a deep trust in the Lord. Psalmist says, "Give yourself to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will help." Let us conclude with a prayer by St. Francis. They say, "Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations." Amen.
Several years ago, when I was studying at St. Meinrad, as a lay student, we would go and spend the entire weekend. So it was a wonderful opportunity to pray the Liturgy of the Hours with the monks. And I would sit in that beautiful church and listen to those deep voices praying the Psalms. And it just added to the awe and wonder of those Psalms. And I would close my eyes and think, these are the same words the people of Israel prayed over 2,000 years ago. And these are the words that Jesus Christ prayed. And I would sit there in awe, listening and praying with the monks. And here we are tonight, 2,000 years later, looking at Psalm 85 and how we intentionally came out in this cold night that we're not used to hear about Psalm 85. And how it applies to us in this world today. So I'd like to break open Psalm 85 by first asking that age-old question. I've got some good news and some bad news. What do you want to hear first? Bad. I'm glad you said bad, because that's where my preaching's going. Scripture scholars tell us that the Psalms were written for the souls of the people of Israel. And it was to tell about the ups and downs of their relationship with God. Now, 2,000 years later, this psalm about peace and truth and kindness and justice, the bad news is we haven't gotten there. 2,000 years of praying those psalms, and we're still trying to learn what peace means in our world. What it means to have justice and truth and kindness. And we know in our world there's so many examples of where peace just isn't happening, where truth is sought, where justice isn't a reality, where people are still striving to find kindness. Those virtues in our humanity haven't reached their achievement. After all these centuries, still praying the Psalms for so long, people would say, "That's bad news, after praying the Psalms that long, that we haven't achieved this." But I say the good news is that we're still praying. That's the good news. We are still praying the Psalms. And I believe these Psalms, written so long ago, are Psalms of hope and prayer for peace and all those things we want in the world. and we keep at it. We keep going with our prayers. I think about all the monks and the ordained, the religious and the lay people who pray the liturgy of the hours all over the globe. Every time zone, you can count on a monastery praying the Psalms, and that's been going on for centuries. Those Psalms being prayed for the entire world, that is such great news. I can't imagine a world that ceases praying. I can't imagine what that would be like. And so the good news is we're still praying. We're still praying the Psalms every Sunday at our liturgies across the world. Those ancient prayers are still being said. And tonight, Psalm 85, I love verse 11. It says, kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. I was sharing my preaching with my husband the other night, Charlie, and he said, okay, you be justice, I'll be peace, let's kiss. And I thought, that's great news. He's applying the Psalms right away in his life. That's my invitation to you all. Take Psalm 85 out into the world and apply it with the world. Now, I'm not telling you how to go out and kiss everybody. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am asking you is when you leave tonight, on the table in front of the Christmas tree is a copy of the psalm that we're praying tonight. Take that psalm with you. As intentional people of prayer, take the psalm home with you. Pray it with yourself, just by yourself in silence. Pray it at a dinner table. And as very bold, intentional disciples of Jesus Christ, take it to a Christmas party. Share that psalm in this Advent season. It's beautiful. The words are so beautiful. I invite you to take that psalm with you and let it seep into your soul this Advent season. Or as my sister-in-law, who's a cloistered nun, says, take prayer and let it go into the soul of your soul. How beautiful is that? Take the words, kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss. Dwell on those words. Brothers and sisters, I truly believe that the majority of humanity is praying, and that's great news. I believe the majority of humanity wants peace, however they're praying for it, wants justice and truth and kindness, and that's the good news. And here we are, you intentional people, coming out tonight to hear about Psalm 85. And I believe that we will leave tonight praying to the Lord. Lord, let us see your kindness.
Psalms permeated Israel's experience. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Psalms were pre-positioned by God to unveil God's saving action to come. Jesus grew up as a boy listening to the Psalms, much like we grew up watching television. Psalms shaped his thoughts, informed his imagination. As Jesus would come into his self-knowledge, the Psalms named what he grew to discover about himself. He is the incarnation of God, the second person of the Trinity. God's mercy sent to save us. Psalm 85 whispers to us tonight, as it did so many centuries ago to St. Athanasius. the very act of God we will celebrate at Christmas. The incarnation of God among us. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Faithfulness will spring up from the ground and righteousness will look down from the sky. Hear the whisper of the incarnation within these verses. Steadfast love, the second person of the Trinity, and faithfulness, humanity in Jesus Christ, will meet. Righteousness, the second person of the Trinity, and peace, humanity in Jesus Christ, will kiss each other. Faithfulness, humanity in Jesus Christ, will spring up from the ground. And righteousness, the second person of the Trinity, will look down from the sky. In St. Athanasius' own words, truth and mercy embrace in the truth which came into the world through the ever-Virgin Mother of God. Psalm 85 whispers of the incarnation, so we hear it in Advent. Advent is about staying alert as we await the coming of the Lord. But how do we stay alert? We stay alert by knowing who I am and who God is, and then living out of that knowledge. Who am I? I am a flawed, limited creature, nonetheless capable of great faithfulness. We are Advent people. Who is God? God is the perfect, holy, unlimited creator who loves completely. Our Advent hope. Where these two tonight meet, mercy is made manifest. Advent reminds us to step into this mercy as we renew our faithfulness. Do you know, Psalm 85 impregnates our Mass's penitential act? It does. The second option for beginning the Mass stems from Psalm 85. The priest says, "Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries." Then the deacon leads, "Have mercy on us, O Lord." The people respond, "For we have sinned against you." Then the deacon continues, "Hear Psalm 85. Show us your mercy, O Lord." And the people respond, "And grant us your salvation." That's Psalm 85, verse 7. Stepping into God's mercy calls each of us to be that mercy to those God places in our life, so as to be Jesus' disciple in the world. This is what Advent preparation is all about. And the promise is this: if we will do this, then as Scripture attests, blessed will that servant be whom the Master finds ready upon his return.